Today on Seculo, in a historic shift, one of the country's largest unions wants Trump as president.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You heard it right. There is a massive shift going on inside the union, specifically the Teamsters. And though you look at the polling that has been done since Joe Biden was in the race and since Joe Biden has left the race with Biden and Trump, and of course the Teamsters representing a core of America's middle class that both Harris and Walz continue to claim they are the middle class party. They are the middle class, the candidates for the middle class, that the Republicans of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance only want to help the richest of the rich. Well, the Teamsters aren't buying it because it's interesting to look at the polling. So if you go way back to April through July, local unions nationwide conducted a first of their kind presidential town hall soliciting endorsement preferences from members via straw polls. Now there, Biden, that from those kind of polling, April 9th to July 3rd, it was in person. It was Biden had an edge, 44%, Trump at 36%. But then the Teamsters went back July 24th through September 15th, following the RNC and Biden's campaign exit. So they commissioned a national electronic poll of 1.3 million members. So a massive poll of their 1.3 million members, which makes them the largest private sector union in the United States of America. And so it was overseen by a third party. Trump nearly at 60%, 59.6%. Harris in the 30s at 34%. And in the past week, following the DNC convention and recent presidential debate, which people thought that was great for Harris, the Teamsters commissioned another independent poll done by Lake Research Partners, the final national survey. That poll ended on September 15th, a few days ago. What did it show? Trump still at 58%. That was after the debate, after Harris has had time on the campaign trail, after a debate that people thought Harris, you know, did so great. And what does it show? People can read through the theatrics of these debates. The Teamsters and those workers who make up the Teamsters see right through it. And Harris lost support down to 31%. So what did the Teamsters Union do? Remember, the head of the Teamsters Union spoke at the RNC. Now, it wasn't a full endorsement of President Trump or Republicans, but an acknowledgement that many of their members were Republican. He did not speak at the DNC, not because he wouldn't, but because they wanted to give him the exact speech he would have to deliver. And he would not do that because he wanted to represent his members. So he wasn't at the DNC, was at the RNC, but no endorsement. Here's the bizarre part in their announcement, which I think, listen, this is a huge win for President Trump, the fact that the Teamsters have put out this information that the true middle-class Americans in the private sector are supporting President Trump by 60%. I mean, that is gigantic. But why don't the Teamsters endorse? Seems like a pretty big number there when you're at 60-30. It's not just like 50-50 or 52. It's not inside any margin of error. And Harris's numbers continue to go down amongst the Teamsters. Listen to this sentence. Glad we have attorneys here and people that read like attorneys on our team. The union's extensive member polling, this is why they did not endorse, showed no majority support for Vice President Harris and no universal support for President Trump. So Harris would have just had to get majority support to get their endorsement. Trump would have had to get 100% of support to get the Teamsters' endorsement. So they're still extremely afraid of what Democrats might do to working men and women in the middle class if Harris does win, because they've created a double standard to get their endorsement. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think men and women, working men and women, are in these polls? Who do you think they're backing as a candidate? Especially when they can do so behind closed doors, you know, in a setting that's more private. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a new campaign. If you become an ACLJ champion, brand new, we will double the impact of your first donation, aclj.org/champions. right, welcome back to Secular. We'll talk more about those Teamsters as well. We've got a union member calling in. I actually want to take that call first, and then we'll talk, too, about what the Fed did, the impact there, what to look out for in inflation and all those numbers, the stock market. We're going to get into that with Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy. But I first want to go to Robert out in California because he answered our first call, which was to hear from potentially members of the Teamsters and if they were talking to fellow Teamsters and who are they in the majority, you know, likely voting for, Trump or Harris. So, Robert, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you for everything that you guys do. I am a monthly supporter of you as well. I am a union member, but I am not Teamsters. I am with the SEIU Security Union, and I am not voting for Kamala.
Okay, so you've decided. What about the people that you work with? Are they being public about it, Robert? Are they being quiet about it? Like, what are you sensing? Because the SEIU tends to lead nationally more to the left, but of course that's just again these national offices. I think, you know, they represent some public and private sector. What are you hearing from those that you work with?
The union has come out and endorsed Kamala, but the members themselves, I'm hearing some aren't being boisterous about it, but some are, that they're going to vote the other way. They're going to vote for Trump.
Okay, so I mean, there you go. I think, Will, very interesting from Robert right there, that even speaking to fellow members inside the SEIU, which tends to lead more to the left, that there's a lot of Trump support there. I mean, and we know that within unions, it is not like it used to be where it was 90% plus Democrat, you know, votes, you know, and I think that it's just very telling that of all places, the Teamsters try to not endorse by saying Harris would have had to get a majority and Donald Trump would have had to get a universal support.
That's right. And I think what you're seeing play out in this election is the shift away from the Democrat Party, from the middle class that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are so feverishly trying to say anytime they can that they are middle class, because they're also sensing this as well. And Professor Hutchison, when you think about historically, the Democrats loved to say that they were the working man's party, the middle class party, and that the Republicans were just wealthy billionaires trying to not pay their fair share of taxes. But when you see the numbers that come out of the Teamsters polling, and I'm glad that they released their polling data to be transparent as well, even with the caveat that Harris didn't get majority or Trump didn't get universal support within their union, I think that it speaks volumes to where the swing states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and also why Ohio is no longer a swing state. When you talk about middle America, where people are middle class and working class individuals, I think we have seen a shift away from the Democrat Party.
I think you're absolutely correct. So it's important to keep in mind that union leadership is now primarily concentrated where? In Washington, D.C. So most large labor unions, they have their headquarters in Washington, D.C. They traditionally have supported the Democratic Party, but in the past, the Democratic Party used to support the interest of working men and women. And so if you look at Pennsylvania, you will find individuals who are represented by a labor union in the fracking industry, they are leaning toward the Republicans. The same thing is true in Michigan. The auto workers who are losing jobs to the electric vehicle mandate, they are beginning to trend toward the Republicans. And the poll numbers of Teamsters workers suggest a similar phenomena is occurring within the Teamsters union. This has been a strategic move over the last 20 to 30 years, in part because unions increasingly are led by elites who've been educated at elite universities, and they don't really care what their members think. And they are not really that concerned about the everyday working class interest. People that are experiencing egg prices that have gone up 60%. Gasoline prices have doubled during the Biden-Harris regime. Those things, they are motivating workers to move away from the Democrat Party.
You know, we see on a YouTube comment, my spouse and I are both Teamsters and we're voting for Trump. We've got more calls coming in. But Harry, I do want to get your take on the interest rate cut. It's the largest cut. It's a half point. People have been waiting to see when the Fed would take some action. What do you think the positives are of this cut and the potential negatives?
Well, number one, the interest rate cut will likely translate into reduced mortgage costs for particularly new home buyers and first-time home buyers. But it's also important to note that cutting interest rates may also lead to a further rise in inflation. And as I suggested earlier, if you look at egg prices, if you look at food prices, if you look at gasoline prices, all of those things have ramped up under the Biden administration. And it's also important to note that unemployment is rising for native-born Americans in two ways. First, they're losing jobs. And secondarily, many of them are forced to accept part-time work. So I think it's probably a mixed message for the market. The Federal Reserve and the bankers are still forecasting an increase in unemployment from 4.2% to 4.4%, perhaps by the end of the year. So it may slow the hemorrhaging of jobs in America, but it will not mean that job losses will end.
You know, that's the interesting part of this. And Will, I mean, I think that people have wanted to see an interest rate cut. They see the, again, prices high. They feel the effects of inflation. It's like even if they could sell their home and buy the next home up or even try to purchase their first home, it's not really an option because of the mortgage rates and the interest rates and the borrowing rates are too high.
Well, and I think what the Harris campaign will try to do is when the stock market reacts, as yesterday it was a good day for the market, we'll see how that pans out in the long term as the analytics get analyzed about really where the economy is if the market continues to go up. But the Harris campaign will try to capitalize on any gains in the market as, look, Bidenomics is working, when in reality what the Federal Reserve has been doing for the past 3 years is trying to combat the disastrous policies of Bidenomics. It's one of the blessings and the curses of having a Federal Reserve, a central banking system, is that sometimes they are playing against their own government. It's a quasi-independent government. It's not directed by the president, but they do appoint the Federal Reserve members. But when you look at it, it's going to be a situation here just a few weeks from an election where the Harris campaign is hoping for good economic news that they can try to claim as a victory, saying, look, our plan works. We're going to continue to fight for the middle class, as she's been saying in her docile interviews that she's had or panels, as we called them yesterday on the broadcast. But we will see, and the reality of them cutting this rate is the reason rates are so high to begin with is because of the inflation under the Biden-Harris economy, and that's the reality of it. So any gains will be short-lived, and they're as a result of fighting back against Bidenomics, not because of Bidenomics. You
know, Harry, the cynics will say this is done for political purposes. This is even though it's a quasi-independent body, this is done to benefit Harris. She's the incumbent. She can say, look, interest rates are coming down. We must be doing the right thing. That's just the cynical look at it. I'm sure a lot of our audience thinks, you know what, this is what was going to happen right before the election. The next time they meet, they're going to cut the interest rates. It's going to be a historic cut with half a point, and this is all to play into the Democrat strategy.
I think that is at least partially correct, but I would also offer a cautionary note that lowering interest rates by a full half point often correlates with what? A subsequent recession. So one of the things to keep in mind is that this is not an unmixed blessing. Number two, let me suggest my compliments to Will Haynes, executive producer, and make him an honorary economist, because it's very likely that what has actually fueled the problems in the economy was going off the gold standard This has allowed a tsunami of government spending, which has fueled inflation long term, and it has forced the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates. Now they are taking their foot off the pedal a little, but we still need to be wary of a possible recession and a rise in inflation going forward.
All right, folks, we need to hear from you. Our teams are working furiously to protect election integrity, you know, at the U.S. Supreme Court, battling back against the deep state targeting of conservatives. Our legal teams continue to fight to protect life and your religious liberty at home and across the globe. Talking about targeting of conservatives, Tulsi Gabbard from our team will be on in the second half of our broadcast to talk about those very issues. We've filed massive lawsuits. We're launching our own advertising campaign in Massachusetts for pro-life pregnancy centers. Donate today at ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Seculo. Before we talk about Iran trying to help out the Harris Walls ticket, they sit, you know, because they sent their hacked Trump team info to them and the mainstream media. So, who do you think Iran wants to win? I always talk about Russia, but how about Iran, which is the Islamic Republic, which is a repressive regime on a path attempting to get a nuclear weapon, who funded the October 7th attack on Israel, as well as the attacks on our troops stationed in the Middle East and the Persian Gulf, as well as you've seen the Houthi rebels, all of that, again, coming because of Iran's the windfall they received from the Biden administration in cash, billions of dollars of cash. But I do want to take Tammy's call first out of California online, too. Hey, Tammy, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much. I just wanted to comment. My husband is a journeyman electrician for IBEW, which is a union. Yep. And every election year, the union sends out all of their stuff, who we should vote for, which is always Democratic. And obviously, we vote the complete opposite. And my husband has talked to, you know, a lot of the guys that he works with, and they're all voting for Trump. I mean, most of them don't vote for the Democrat party, so, which is kind of hopeful. Here in California, since Biden's been in office, we paid about $5 a gallon for gas. Prior to that, it was like $3 a gallon.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, that there's two reasons why. I mean, it's not the party for the working man and woman anymore. And if you are in that middle class and you see the gas prices up by $2 a gallon, Will, that's hurting people every single day. And they're looking to say, what is the union doing for me? They're putting these people in place and their bad policies are causing me to have to pay more. So whenever they negotiate my wages, the fact is it doesn't matter because of the inflation that they go through every single day.
That's right. And I think bringing up a point that Professor Hutchison made in the last segment about many times the leadership is also out of touch with the members of their unions, especially when they have headquarters in Washington, D.C., so they can be close to government to provide lobbying efforts on behalf of their members and other issues like that. But the IBEW endorsed Kamala Harris to be president of the United States just at the end of July after she became the presumptive nominee. So once again, Tammy is showing that in a state like California, the membership of the union there are not necessarily in lockstep with the leadership of their union in that is in Washington, D.C. or another East Coast city and living a completely different life than the membership of their union. I think it also goes to show that the leadership, to some degree, still is afraid of the Democrat Party as a whole, the DNC. I think it shows you why the Teamsters almost covered themselves by releasing the data but declining to endorse when there was a clear favorite among their rank and file. Now, there's still 30%. I guess they could make the case, but I think they should have changed the sentence in their press release to say there was no universal support for either candidate.
Right.
But they didn't. And it shows that they still had to pay some lip service to the Democrat Party that, look, we're not completely abandoning you, us, the leadership of the Teamsters. We still want to be in your good favor going forward.
But we're not going to remain the leadership if we make that endorsement.
Right. I think that's exactly what happened.
If the actual members of the union were able to vote for their leadership and they made an endorsement like that, I think they'd end up with a leadership that would start endorsing Republicans, and the entire mindset and shift of this of these unions would be once and for all done. I mean, it would be the idea that these are just Democrat strongholds. It's not true anymore. The numbers bear that out. But the leadership is still from the old school that is concerned, you know, that the Democrats will somehow punish them, really punish them, if they don't at least do what they can. So don't make the endorsement, even if your members are, you know, 60-30 in support of Donald Trump. You know, give Donald Trump a different standard. Even though Harris was willing to sign all the things the national leadership wanted, they still would not make the endorsement because so few of their members actually support her for president of the United States. There's another big story out. We're going to get into this more in the second half hour of the broadcast. And Will, that is Iran. We now know, and this came out in August, that Iran had done some hacking, Iranian hackers hacking into specific members of the Trump campaign and people associated with President Trump. And they tried to kind of send it out to the, at the time, Biden team, now Harris team. And the FBI now coming out, you know, clearly saying this was Iranian hacking. Media got this as well. What they are saying is that the Biden team at the time, so the Harris team now, didn't respond. Now, there'd be one thing if they didn't respond to an offer, but some of the media said they actually got sent the materials. You could look at the materials without responding. So they might have gone halfway here, not responded to the Iranian hacker to get more, because they could clearly see that was something wrong. But it would surprise me if they didn't open up emails with hacked information from Trump.
That's right. And in the joint statement from the FBI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, they noted that the text of the email was the excerpt from the stolen non-public material from former President Trump's campaign. So it wasn't like, hey, do you want this? Or here's an attachment. It was the text of the email. And yet the joint statement says there's currently no information indicating those recipients replied. That's not the problem. I'm certain they didn't send back, thanks, Iran. Got it. Got anything else? Right. They're not going to do that. That's not the question. The question is, did the campaign utilize this? And also the double standard here, that a campaign, this was when it was Biden's campaign still, took something and potentially used it or even received it. Where's the calls for a special counsel? Where's the Iranian collusion narrative that the Biden and Harris ticket was seeking to collude with the Iranian government to defeat Donald Trump? Because that's what we all lived through. For 4 years, was that, remember, it started with WikiLeaks. Right. And when they used WikiLeaks, which wasn't just sent to the campaign, but was published online, but using those emails that Hillary Clinton had, which were very damaging to her campaign, publicly available, they cried, Donald Trump is colluding with Russia to steal this election. So where are those same cries? Why is this hypocrisy not blasted everywhere that this is a potential story? Or also maybe say, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have gone so far with the Russia, Russia, Russia.
Right. And we forget about Iran. You forget about China. And what the real story here is, who opened the emails and how much data did they take? What campaign members actually did that? Did they see the information they shouldn't? Did they report it correctly? I don't care about this dangled out one that they didn't respond to, because you could kind of see that was a setup. But the actual emails, like the media got, already had the hacked information. So the fact that they didn't reply and say, send us more, I mean, they're not that stupid. But it doesn't mean they're not utilizing what they did receive. And the FBI should know that at this point. And that's what Congress wants to know as well. What did they do with the information that they received? Not the potential information, but the actual information. We'll talk to Tulsi Gabbard. She's coming up in the next half hour of the broadcast. So share this with your friends and family. Share the link of the broadcast with your friends and family. And folks, ACLJ champions, as you know, are the reason we can say yes to cases. It's the reason why, if it's a big case, a small case. We don't have to think about the economic cost because we've got your financial support. We want to take one on more clients always, but we need your help. We need more monthly partners, more monthly ACLJ champions. And when you become a new ACLJ champion today at aclj.org/champions, your first donation is doubled. aclj.org/champions. We need you.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
The Office of the Director of National Intelligence writes in a statement, a joint statement with the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, that, quote, Iranian malicious cyber actors in late June and early July sent unsolicited emails to individuals then associated with President Biden's campaign that contained an excerpt taken from stolen, non-public material from former President Trump's campaign as text in the email. So not just an offer for the information, but the actual some of the stolen information. Now, here's what's bizarre. The follow-up statements from the agency, like, there's currently no information indicating that those recipients replied. Well, I think, again, if they thought about it for a second, they're not going to just hit reply and say, send me more for hacked information. That doesn't mean they're not taking the hacked information they already received and have used it to their own advantage already. It might already have been done. But they're acting like that couldn't have possibly happened. And if you read the Harris statement from Morgan Finkelstein, quote, we've cooperated with the appropriate law enforcement authorities since we were made aware that individuals associated with the then Biden campaign were among the intended victims. They're the intended victims. No, I think it was the Trump campaign and Donald Trump who were the victims here of a hack of their campaign staffs and their internal non-public information, documents, and discussions. Those are the victims, not the media, not the Biden campaign team who got the information for free and in their emails. But to go on, they say, so that's already part one of this foreign influence operation. And it goes on. We're not aware of any material being sent directly to the campaign. That contradicts, Will, right, exactly what the ODNI says, which is right, that in these emails, to prove that they were real, they used information, excerpts, taken from stolen non-public material from former President Trump's campaign as text in the emails. So they say, oh, we didn't actually get any of this material. That's not what the ODNI is saying.
Well, and also they're trying to say, well, also this information went to the Biden individual's personal emails, not their official campaign. Once again, you have to hand it to them for their ability to spin and gaslight the American people. If you're sending campaign material, or some sort of nefarious dossier. Let's go back to even the Russia dossier. Do you think you're going to send it to at joebiden.com email address? No, they're going to be more savvy. They're trying to give you stolen material. They're not going to go directly to a place that is on a server, that is overseen. There are multiple layers of checks probably about what's going through those official capacities. So of course they send it to individuals' personal email addresses. But also, you got to go back to that line that the then Biden campaign were among the intended victims of this foreign influence operation. No, they were the intended benefactors of this foreign influence operation. The entire goal here was Iran to help these people beat Trump. Why? Because Iran is scared to death of another Trump presidency. It also speaks volumes that the Iranians would want Joe Biden to remain in office. Why? They enriched themselves during his presidency. They were able to facilitate October 7th, the attack on the music festival and the Israelis that killed 1,200 plus individuals and took hostages. They've been able to beef up Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen. The Iranians, of course, want the benefactors to be the Biden-Harris regime.
We're going to talk about it with Tulsi Gabbard. She's coming up next on Seculo. So share it with your friends and family, whatever link, wherever you're watching. Of course, if you're listening online, if you're listening in your car, terrestrial radio, or SiriusXM, stay with us during this break. And remember, folks, our teams, we've just filed a massive lawsuit against Massachusetts, smear campaign against pro-life pregnancy centers. We're planning on launching our own advertising campaign there. We're representing Operation Rescue after a U.S. Army training instructed soldiers to view pro-life organizations, I guess like the ACLJ, as terrorists. Terrorists, the old American people who are pro-life. And we just sent a demand letter to a furniture provider after they forced an employee to forgo attending church on Sundays. Can't do that. Go to aclj.org/champions now, and your first donation will be doubled. That's aclj.org/champions. Secchio, Tulsi Gabbard, who's a member of our team, is joining us now. Tulsi, I want to jump right into this issue with the Iranian hackers and the stolen data they emailed to both the Biden campaign team and Harris campaign team and members of the media, because there's two conflicting statements. We have the statement from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, who says in the emails that were sent, there was stolen information in the text. You could actually, so there wasn't just an offer to get stolen information that you had to reply for, but there was actually excerpts of the stolen information. We don't know the size of those excerpts, but we do know it was there. We know that members of the media received this as well from Iran. But in the statement from the Harris campaign, they acted like as if they didn't get anything in their emails, which is the direct opposite of what the ODNI said. They said, we were made aware that individuals associated with the campaign were among the intended, they call them victims, like they're the victims of getting this stolen information. I think the victim there is the Trump campaign, but to go on, but we're not aware of any material being sent directly to the campaign. Maybe the individuals got it on their personal emails. Like that's somehow different. And so the fact is that ODNI statement tells us that they did get the stolen information. What we don't know, we just lost Tulsi there for a second. So we'll get Tulsi back up and we'll get her response. But what we do know, I mean, I think, Will, that right there, here, is Tulsi back with us? Is Tulsi back with us now? Yeah, okay. So that issue, Tulsi, to me, it's just at least be honest and just say, you know what, we got this information. We're not using it. We reported it right away. Don't try to act like you didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the hypocrisy and the double standard is quite incredible. I hearing these reports coming out, it really reminds me of how many times we are seeing that the Kamala Harris campaign, Kamala Harris herself, she really thinks that we're stupid, saying, oh, this wasn't sent to the campaign directly. It was just sent to the personal emails of the people who are running her campaign for president. What's the difference? The email address, does that somehow mean there's a brick wall in between and this person segments all the different parts of their lives based on their email address? It's ridiculous. And again, it not only shows how offensive the mindset is of Kamala Harris and her campaign and to the American people and thinking that we're too stupid to see this for what it really is, but it also does that for the media of how they are treating this situation completely differently than they did when we had the Russia hoax with President Trump back in 2016. As you pointed out, the fact that they're calling Kamala Harris and her campaign the victims of this, when in fact it was President Trump's senior team and their emails were the ones that were hacked and their information that was leaked to their opponent in this campaign. It speaks volumes once again about the propaganda media and who they are blatantly and overtly working to benefit. I think from a policy standpoint, the fact that this is happening where Iran or their actors are hacking information and leaking it and sending it to Kamala Harris's campaign, it says who they want to win. And why is that? Because under President Trump, he exerted and projected strength as our president and commander in chief. And under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, Iran has never been more enriched and more able to continue to provide funding and all kinds of support to Islamist terrorist groups like Hezbollah and others, and Hamas and others. So, you know, the policy standpoint and the contrast once again on these two candidates based on this single action alone, it just further highlights what we can look forward to if either one of these candidates wins as president. Obviously, with President Trump, they greatly hampered Iran's ability to continue to develop nuclear weapons and continue to arm and support terrorists. The opposite is true. Iran is closer to being able to have a nuclear weapon and has provided incredible support to these terrorist organizations.
If the flip side, too, you're talking about the hypocrisy. If the Trump campaign received information like this from Russia, just like this. If it was just pieces of information and they report it like they say they did here and followed the right steps, the Harris team would immediately say, this shows, this is the evidence that Vladimir Putin and the Russians are campaigning for Donald Trump. So using their own logic, can I not say that this is the evidence and it proves that the Ayatollah and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and their cyber team are rooting for Vice President Harris and Tim Walz?
Yeah, I mean, if you use their logic, then that would be a consistent conclusion to reach. But, you know, something like that doesn't even need to happen, as we saw with the Attorney General Merrick Garland's big press conference he had a week or two ago, where he was declaring that Russia is attempting to influence our election once again. There was no direct reported interaction between, Russian efforts and the Trump campaign or whatever the case may be. There was no parallel to what we're seeing now with this Iranian hack and email leak of information. The fact is, for Attorney General Merrick Garland to stand there, and I think FBI Director Christopher Wray was by his side, for him to stand there and hold this big press conference warning the American people about, foreign interference in our election, pointing to the Trump campaign, that press conference in and of itself was interference in our elections and trying to convince the American people of something that quite frankly is actually happening just by virtue of the Attorney General having that press conference in and of itself. There's so much that's going on here. We're seeing the use of these federal agencies to try to rig this election to benefit Kamala Harris, the weaponization of these entities and the FBI and the Department of Justice. My hope is that the American people who are watching this play out are recognizing it for exactly what it is. And we're going to continue to deliver the message about what the issues are and the record of President Trump versus Kamala Harris, and how we do need change. President Trump is the guy who can fix what Kamala Harris has broken and bring about that positive change.
Now, Tulsa, you've done some events with President Trump, but you've also kind of started this tour with RFK Jr., and you've got another big event coming up this Saturday in Las Vegas. So as you're traveling the country, hitting different cities, and also with unique figures like yourself and RFK Jr., what are you picking up from people that are coming to those events? Do you think it's some new people coming as well?
Yeah, there are no doubt people who may have supported me, who have been following me over the years. There are Bobby Kennedy supporters who are coming out. There are Trump supporters who are coming out. In the first event that we had, which was in Phoenix last weekend, I'm having a hard time keeping track of days of the week here. It was just this past weekend. As we were holding this dialogue and this conversation on the stage, I turned to the audience and asked them to raise their hands if they were a Democrat or a former Democrat or an independent. And almost half of the hands in that room shot up in the air. We had well over 1,000 people who came and attended that event. Unfortunately, hundreds were turned away at the door. But that was an indicator of how many people have maybe walked a similar path that I have in choosing to leave the Democrat Party because of the insanity of their radical and extreme and woke ideologies, and the fact that they are now the party that is under the control of the cabal of warmongers and neocons. That is Kamala Harris's Democrat Party.
Well, Tulsi, I think it's important that they're hearing from you, folks that have maybe made that decision to say, you know what, let me think about where I'm going to vote this time, and maybe I'm going to vote differently than I have in the past, and I don't feel like this is really my party anymore. I'm not really welcome inside, but they still want to hear from people who kind of are on the inside to know that they're thinking the right way and even making the right decision. So I think what you're doing is great and very cool for the Republican Party and really for President Trump and for politics in general. So people in the Las Vegas area this Saturday, check it out. But as you heard from Tulsi, make sure you get there early, get your seat early. Tulsi, as always, we appreciate being part of our team on Seculo and the broadcast. And I think that you hear it right there. The fact that people are being turned away from these events, half the people are Democrats, former Democrats, and they're getting to hear from people who are inside both the Democrat Party, but also inside Trump's world.
That's right. And you even saw images of the car motorcade going to the event in New York last night for President Trump. And there were people filling the streets just to see the motorcade. And it wasn't just people curious. You saw people with a lot of Trump merch on, with Trump hats, that in a place like New York, there was still a large crowd to line the streets to see his motorcade, but then inside the event as well. There was no high-profile singer free concert that people were getting. You know, it was just a normal President Trump rally, and they filled up an arena, and there were people that got there hours upon hours early to be able to be there in attendance. I think that it has a lot of that feel of 2016, where the polls showed something very close. Actually, it wasn't even very close. It was Hillary Clinton by a landslide. And yet the enthusiasm gap is what the polls aren't picking up on. Who's going to actually go and place their vote on November 5th or early if you're a Democrat voter. But we will see how it turns out. It just has a different feel than even 2020.
Folks, we've got more to talk about in the last segment of the broadcast, and we've got time to take your phone calls. Some lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about this Iranian play by Harris? Oh, that they're the victims, that they got this stolen information. Don't worry, no one replied to ask for more. But what did they do with the information that they got? 1-800-684-3110. For folks who are members of unions, talking about those issues, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo. Go right to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. If you call in now, you might have time to get on the air. So I'll give you that number again, 1-800-684-3110. I do want to go to call from Tim in California, who's been holding on through Tulsi, who was joining us. Tim, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I believe the reason why the Teamsters Union and other unions are supporting Donald Trump, and I believe that other people are making the same decision, is they see the contrast between what Kamala Harris wants to offer and what Donald Trump wants to offer. Donald Trump wants to offer freedom. He wants to offer our economy to get back to normal. Kamala Harris wants to bring us down to the level as Venezuela.
Well, I think that there are certainly issues like that where these working men and women realize, you know, all the work that the union does kind of amounts to nothing if everything costs more. So even if they get, you know, if they go in and they can negotiate higher wages, but the gas goes up by $2, the wages aren't matching the inflation.
That's right. And I think that's why we, in the earlier segments of the broadcast, that we coupled this news about a non-endorsement but released poll data from the Teamsters, which show 2-1 support for President Trump over Kamala Harris by the union members. When you start to look at that and you couple that with what the Fed is doing with that rate cut, they're trying to really help employment. They've been trying to tackle inflation with the high interest rates, but they're bringing it back down. They have been fighting against the policies of the Biden-Harris campaign for 3.5 years now. So when you have that coupled with the laborers of this country that are showing their support for change, and by change, a different person in the White House, I think that speaks volumes to where we are as a country. The Federal Reserve news on its own isn't something that most people are going to be talking about. It gets wonky. It's cumbersome to talk about how that affects the stock market, how it affects inflation, how it affects all of these things that the Federal Reserve rate affects. But when you take that and have the knowledge that what the Federal Reserve is trying to do is combat negative things they're seeing in the economy to try and make it more prosperous for America. That's the end game with this rate cut, is to try to stave off inflation getting even more out of control, trying to stave off a recession. We don't know what will happen in the coming months as a result of this, but that is what they are doing. They are trying to combat negative indicators in our economy that have been presided over by the Biden-Harris team. Yep. So I think that's really all you need to take away from that, is that while the stock market may go up and Harris will take credit for it, it's in spite of Harris that the Federal Reserve lowered the rate and the stock market rises.
I want to go back to the phones. Jasmine in California joining us on line two. Jasmine, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Hi, how are you?
We're great. Thanks for being on the air.
Yeah, no, I was just calling to kind of weigh in on the Teamsters issue. I'm also a Teamster. My husband's a Teamster. We're voting for Trump, definitely. They had massive layoffs earlier this year, and a lot of Teamsters are feeling the impact of the economy and all the changes that are happening. His co-driver, who would have normally voted Democrat, he's voted Trump this year. Everybody's kind of having a change of heart because of the way that things are going. And, you know, some of the diehard Democrats that are like pushing no vote for Kamala, you know, sounds like it's just getting on people's nerves. Like, nah, not this time.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Will, you know, what's really interesting is that we've had multiple Teamsters call in today, all from California.
Yeah.
And what the Teamsters Joint Councils 7 and 42, which are West Coast Teamsters, it makes up chapters, local unions in California, Nevada, Hawaii, and Guam. Right after the national Teamsters made this move of no endorsement and released the poll data, they tried to get ahead of it, the West Coast things, and say, well, our coalition, our joint councils, 7 and 42, are endorsing Kamala Harris. But that's not what we're hearing from the union members that are calling today. So once again, it's when there's these spats between leadership that represent their members, they don't always represent their members, as we've heard from Jasmine, as we've heard from other folks that have called from the West Coast, from California. They're not voting for Harris.
Right. They're not voting for Harris. Their friends are. And it's not that they're always going to vote Republican. It's that this time around, they've seen 4 years of what Harris has done. It's not turning a page. You can't turn a page when you're the vice president for 4 years. You've endorsed those policies. You can say what you might do differently, but for the most part, I haven't heard anything about that. You know, it's just a bunch of words when she goes into any kind of policy question. We never get any answers. And I think the fact that when the Teamsters had the chance, the head of the Teamsters had the chance to speak at the RNC unscripted and couldn't speak at the DNC because you had to use their exact speech. It kind of tells you everything. This is a huge blow to Democrats. It's been since George H.W. Bush that the Teamsters haven't endorsed the Democrats.
In 1988.
I mean, this is, again, it's been a very long time. And I think that we know that the union membership has voted Republican more and more. I don't think we've ever seen numbers like this. So if these numbers translate into states like Pennsylvania and other states, then as you go into the Midwest, that's why Harris and the team, you know, they can't feel too confident, even with some of the national polls that show it as a closer race. I think that, again, you always want to campaign like you're down. You always want to campaign like you've got to make up 5%, 10% in every state, in every congressional district, every way to get to those electoral college votes, to get the number you need to become president. So you never want to just sit and say, oh, doing great these polls, so I'm solid. But the fact is, they're not doing so great in the polls, and it seems like they are losing the support from their core base. While, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. are out in Phoenix and Las Vegas, so Arizona and Nevada, two key states, and they're bringing out people who would not typically come out to a Republican event. So half the crowd doesn't even associate themselves with the Republican Party. And they want to hear from them because they say, you know what, this is someone that probably sees the world a lot like me, and they've gotten to know the Trump world from inside and out, traveling with President Trump, being, you know, publicly and privately, and they've endorsed President Trump. And then to hear from RFK Jr., to hear from Tulsi, it gives them, I think, you know, a sense of almost like they're thinking, you know, I'm thinking the right way, I feel the right way. If I'm thinking about making this vote, I feel a bit better about making that vote, Will. And you start adding up thousands of people coming to events like that who would not typically even go to a Trump rally and aren't showing up at the Harris or Walls events. I mean, that's again, that can change an election, because we know it's going to be thousands of votes in states that are a difference in who wins the state.
And I think bringing back up the point about Sean O'Brien, the president of the Teamsters, when he spoke at the RNC, and his reason for doing so was because he wasn't going to be limited in what he could say. I remember watching that speech and thinking it was a drastically different speech than you hear ever at a Republican convention. He said some things that were, for many longtime Republicans, could have been seen as a little controversial to be saying at the RNC. It proves he wasn't limited in what he could say. And the reason that he couldn't speak at the DNC is because they wanted to limit him. It shows you how different the parties are these days.
If you're in Lebanon, stay away from pagers, stay away from radios, also walkie-talkies. Kind of wondering, what's the next device? What's the next device? We can talk about that tomorrow. Give you a day to think about it on Seculo. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And if you join as a champion today, your gift will be doubled. We need your support. aclj.org/champions. We'll talk to you tomorrow.